Hey everyone, and welcome to another deep dive. Today we're going to be checking out the world of mirror polishing for injection molds. You know, I always thought it was just about aesthetics, but as I was reading through this technical document, I realized there's a whole lot more to it.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating how much more goes into it than just making something look shiny.
Right. So are you ready to dive into this with me?
Absolutely. Let's get into it.
Awesome. So first off, this document makes it clear that mirror polishing impacts a product's quality and how well it actually works. It's not just about looks.
Yeah, it's crucial for function and durability in a ton of industries you wouldn't even think of.
So it's really about achieving a level of smoothness that affects the performance and lifespan of the product.
Exactly. Like, think about reducing friction. That's super important for a lot of things.
Like what?
Well, you've got those tiny gears in a watch. Even things like medical implants.
Oh, wow. Yeah, never thought about that. So mirror polishing is kind of like the unsung hero, making sure those things work smoothly and reliably.
You could say that. It's like the foundation for a lot of complex applications.
The document even mentions how holding a mirror polished gadget can feel like holding a piece of art. Have you ever had that experience?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That tactile experience you get, the way light hits a perfectly polished surface, it's like you can feel the craftsmanship.
Totally. It's like the difference between something mass-produced and something handcrafted.
Yeah.
You know.
So let's break down the benefits of mirror polishing that the source talks about. I guess the most obvious one is aesthetics.
Sure, you got the high reflectivity, the sleek look, that premium feel.
And they all play a part in how appealing a product is.
But it goes even deeper than that. Mirror polishing can actually minimize surface defects.
So you get a product that looks flawless.
Exactly, like it's sculpted from one piece of material.
Like imagine a smartphone case that's so flawlessly polished that it looks like liquid metal.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the kind of impact we're talking about.
And what's really cool is how these aesthetic benefits translate into practical advantages too.
Okay, how so? Well, like we were talking about before, mirror polishing reduces friction, which is essential for those tiny gears and complex machines.
Right.
But it also makes it easier to release parts from molds during manufacturing. And it improves corrosion resistance.
Which is important for like marine applications.
Exactly. Anything exposed to harsh environments.
So right? We're not just talking about pretty surfaces. We're talking about making things work better and last longer.
Exactly.
And speaking of lasting longer, the source emphasizes how mirror polishing makes materials less susceptible to corrosion and contamination.
Which has a direct impact on the product's lifespan.
Like think about car parts.
Yeah, like wheels and exhaust systems.
Or those medical implants that need to last for years inside the body.
Exactly. In those cases, durability is key.
This is where it gets really interesting for me. Achieving that mirror polish, it's a multi-step process, almost like an art form. And it requires specific tools and techniques.
Yeah, the source talks about that.
Okay, so what kind of tools are we talking about here?
Well, it starts with sandpapers and abrasive pads.
Sandpaper? Really?
Yeah, but it's not that simple. They actually talk about using different grits.
Grits?
Yeah, like you might start with a coarser grit, like 400, to remove larger imperfections, and then gradually work your way up to a finer grit, maybe even 2,000 or higher.
Wow. I had no idea there were so many levels to sandpaper.
It's all about refining the surface step by step.
So you're basically prepping the surface for the actual polishing.
Exactly.
And then what?
Then you've got polishing compounds. They mentioned something called a rouge compound for that final gloss.
Rouge compound. Sounds fancy.
It gives it that extra shine.
And they use different types of buffing wheels and pads too?
Oh yeah, like wheels for polishing metal.
I've seen those before.
And of course, you've got rotary tools with specialized attachments.
To get into all those nooks and crannies.
Exactly.
It sounds like a pretty involved process.
It definitely requires some expertise.
Well, yeah. I mean, consistent pressure, the right angles, safety precautions.
It's not something you want to just try at home.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So we've talked about the process, but where does this all actually happen?
Oh, mirror polishing is used in a ton of industries.
Like what? Give me some examples.
Okay, well, one that jumps out is the automotive industry.
Car parts.
Yeah, things like shiny car wheels.
Oh, so it's not just for looks?
Nope. They actually reduce drag and improve fuel efficiency.
Oh, really?
It's pretty cool how something aesthetic can have such a functional impact.
That is cool. And of course, there's the corrosion resistance for things like wheels and exhaust systems.
Exactly. Got to keep those things looking good and lasting long.
Not to mention a sleek, polished interior trim.
Always adds a touch of class.
Okay, so what other industries?
Well, the aerospace industry relies heavily on mirror polishing, too.
For what?
For reducing friction and wear in jet engines.
Jet engines?
Yeah, it helps them run more efficiently and last longer.
Makes sense. They're pretty complex machines.
And they use it for precision polished lenses and optic systems, too.
Yeah.
For optimal clarity.
So we're talking about high-tech applications here.
That
it's amazing how this technique can have such profound impact across so many different fields.
It really is versatile.
Okay, so we've got automotive, we've got aerospace. What else?
Well, how about the medical field?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Think about surgical instruments.
They have to be perfectly smooth and sterile.
Exactly. And mirror polishing helps achieve that.
Makes sense. And what about things like joint replacements?
Those two, they need to move smoothly within the body.
And I bet mirror polishing helps with that.
You got it.
It's like the ultimate combination of form and function.
I like that.
Okay, so we've got automotive, aerospace, medical. What about something a little closer to home?
Well, how about those sleek and durable smartphone casings everyone loves?
Oh, right.
Mirror polishing makes those look good and keeps them functioning smoothly.
So it's in our pockets every day.
Pretty much.
But let's be real, that there've got to be some challenges to achieving this level of perfection, right?
Oh, absolutely. Even the most skilled experts face hurdles.
Like what kind of hurdles?
Well, one of the biggest ones is dealing with surface imperfections.
Imperfections? Like what?
Things like tiny scratches or pits.
Oh, yeah. I bet those would be super obvious under a mirror finish.
Exactly. They can ruin the whole look.
So I guess surface preparation is key.
Absolutely. Got to have that flawless base to work with.
And they talk about maintaining consistent pressure throughout the process. Any variation can mess things up.
Yep. Too much pressure. You risk damaging the material. Too little, and you won't get that perfect polish.
It's a delicate balance for sure. So what about different materials? Do they all polish the same way?
That's a great question. And no, they don't.
I figured.
The source actually talks about how different materials have their own quirks.
Oh, really? Like what?
Well, softer metals, like aluminum, are way more prone to scratching. They're just not as hard.
So you have to be super careful with those.
Exactly.
And what about harder metals, like stainless steel?
Those can actually require more force to get that mirror finish.
So it's almost like you're fighting the material.
Kind of. You got to know how to work with its natural properties.
What about glass?
Glass is a whole other ballgame. It's brittle and really sensitive to temperature changes.
I bet that's tricky to polish.
Oh, yeah. The source mentions a story about someone who tried polishing glass without considering its unique properties, and they ended up cracking the entire piece.
Ouch, that sounds expensive. So you really have to understand the material you're working with.
Absolutely. It's not just about knowing whether it's hard or soft. It's about understanding its thermal conductivity, its chemical reactions, and a whole bunch of other factors.
It's like material science meets craftsmanship.
You could say that.
Okay, so we've talked about the materials. What about limitations in the equipment itself? Does that play a role?
It definitely does.
Okay, so what kind of limitations are we talking about?
Well, the source mentions things like uneven pad wear or incorrect speed settings on the tools.
Oh, I bet that would mess things up.
Yeah, it's like trying to paint a masterpiece with a brush that's falling apart.
So regular maintenance is key.
Absolutely, got to keep those tools in top shape.
So it's an ongoing investment, not just the initial cost of the tools.
Exactly.
What about temperature? Does that play a role?
Oh, yeah. Temperature fluctuations can cause all sorts of problems.
Like what?
For example, changes in temperature can make the material expand or contract, leading to warping or stress.
And that could ruin the whole piece.
Yep. It's like trying to polish something that's constantly changing shape.
That's crazy.
So they talk about monitoring the temperature and using things like water or air jets to keep things stable.
So temperature control is super important.
Absolutely. It's all about precision.
Okay, but even with the perfect tools, materials, and temperature control, there's still the human factor, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's a huge part of it.
So it's not just about the technology. It's about the skill of the operator.
Exactly.
It's like you can have all the fancy paintbrushes in the world, but it takes an artist to create a masterpiece.
I love that analogy.
So what are some of the skills that make a good mirror polisher?
Well, the source talks about experience, intuition, and a feel for how the material is responding.
So it's like a sixth sense almost.
Kind of. It's something you develop over time.
I'm starting to realize that mirror polishing is a lot more complex than I initially thought.
It really is. There's a lot that goes into it.
It's this amazing blend of science, technology, and human skill.
And we've only just scratched the surface.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
We've covered a lot of ground here, but there's still so much more to explore.
Definitely stay tuned for part two, where we'll dive even deeper into the intricacies of mirror polishing.
Welcome back, everyone. So last time we were talking about the challenges of mirror polishing. and it really hit me how those tiny imperfections can become so obvious under a mirror finish. It's almost like you're looking at it under a magnifying glass.
Yeah, it really magnifies everything. That's why the source stresses that meticulous surface preparation is key.
Okay, so it's like creating that perfect canvas before you even start painting.
Exactly. You need a flawless base.
And they mention using those progressively finer abrasives, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, going from a rough grit to something super fine, it's all about gradually refining the surface.
Each step is like laying the groundwork for the next.
Exactly, until you reach that ultra smooth reflective surface.
And then there's that whole thing about maintaining consistent pressure. Any variation can create flaws or make existing ones worse.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance for sure.
Too much pressure and you damage the material too little and you don't get the polish.
It really highlights the skill of the person doing the polishing.
Yeah, they almost need to have a feel for it, knowing how much pressure the material can handle.
Exactly. It's a lot of experience and intuition.
Speaking of materials, it's fascinating how they all have different personalities when it comes to polishing.
Yeah, it's not a one-size-fits-all process.
So like softer metals like aluminum, they're more prone to scratching.
Right, because they're not as hard.
So you have to be extra gentle with those.
Exactly. Imagine trying to polish a marshmallow.
Oh, yeah, good point. And then on the other end, you've got stainless steel, which is much harder.
Yeah, you need a bit more force with that to get the same mirror finish.
So you're basically working against the material's resistance.
Yeah, you could say that.
And then there's glass, which seems like a whole other challenge.
Oh, yeah. Glass is tricky. It's brittle and sensitive to temperature changes.
So it's prone to cracking or warping during polishing.
Exactly.
It's like trying to polish a thin sheet of ice.
The source actually tells a story about someone who tried polishing glass without considering its properties.
Uh-oh. What happened?
They ended up cracking the entire piece.
That's got to be a painful lesson.
Yeah, it shows how important it is to understand the material you're working with.
So it's not just hard or soft. It's thermal conductivity, chemical reactions, all that stuff.
They're all connected.
So it's like material science meets craftsmanship.
Exactly.
We've talked about the materials, the techniques.
Yeah.
But what about limitations in the equipment itself?
Oh, yeah. That definitely plays a role.
Like what kind of limitations?
Well, the source talks about things like uneven pad wear or incorrect speed settings on the tools.
Yeah, I bet that would affect the final finish.
Yeah, it's like trying to write a novel on a keyboard with half the keys missing.
So regular maintenance is crucial.
Oh, absolutely. Got to keep those tools in tip-top shape.
Replacing worn-out pads, lubricating moving parts, calibrating settings.
It's all part of maintaining that level of precision.
So it's an ongoing investment in those tools.
Exactly.
Okay, what about temperature? Does that play a role?
Temperature is actually a crucial factor.
Really? How so?
Well, fluctuations in temperature during the process can cause a lot of problems.
Like what kind of problems?
Well, for example, changes in temperature can cause the material to expand or contract.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense.
And that can lead to warping or stress.
And that could ruin the whole piece.
Exactly. It's like trying to polish something that's constantly changing shape.
That's wild. So how do you control for that?
Well, they talk about monitoring the temperature and using things like water or air jets to keep things stable.
So temperature control is super important.
Absolutely. It's all about creating the right conditions.
Okay, so we've got the right tools, the right materials, the right temperature, but there's still the human element, right?
Absolutely. The skill of the operator is huge.
It's like you can give two people the same paint and brushes, but they'll create completely different paintings.
Exactly.
So what makes a skilled mirror polisher?
Well, they have that experience, that intuition. They can sense how the material is responding to the polishing.
It's like they develop a sixth sense.
Yeah, it's something you learn over time.
I'm really starting to see how much goes into this. It's not just a technical process. It's an art form.
Well said. It takes skill, dedication, a desire to learn and improve.
This is way more complex than I initially thought.
Yeah, we've only scratched the surface, but there's still more to uncover.
Well, I'm definitely intrigued. Let's move on to part three and see what else we can learn. Wow, we've really gone deep into the world of mirror polishing.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey, hasn't it?
It's amazing how something that seems so simple on the surface is actually this crazy mix of science, technology, and just pure craftsmanship.
It really is a fascinating combination.
What really blew me away was how mirror polishing shows up in so many different industries.
Yeah.
Like I always thought it was just about fancy car parts or shiny gadgets.
Right. It's easy to think of it as just an aesthetic thing.
But it's also about making jet engines more efficient, medical implants more durable.
Mm.
Even those tiny gears in a watch work properly.
It's a great example of how something that seems purely visual can have these huge practical implications.
And the level of precision involved is just mind-boggling. We were talking about grit progressions and specialized compounds, even maintaining consistent pressure throughout the process.
It's all about the details.
Yeah, every little thing matters.
Especially when you consider how easily imperfections can show up under a mirror finish.
Right, even the tiniest scratch can ruin the whole thing. And then there are the challenges with different materials.
Oh yeah, each material has its own personality and requires a different approach.
It's not just about having the right tools. It's about understanding the material itself.
Absolutely. Knowing how it reacts to different temperatures, pressures, compounds.
And we can't forget about the equipment and the environment.
Right. Things like temperature fluctuations can really mess things up.
So you need the perfect conditions for the process to work properly.
Yeah.
But even with all that, it seems like the human element is still the most important factor.
Couldn't agree more.
That intuition, that experience, that feel for how the material is responding.
That's what separates the true masters of the craft.
So what do you think the future holds for mirror polishing?
Well, with all the advancements in technology, who knows? Maybe we'll see robotic systems that can achieve mirror finishes with even greater precision.
That would be pretty wild.
And as new materials are developed, we'll need new polishing techniques to keep up.
Oh yeah, like imagine a self-polishing material.
Right, something that can repair its own scratches and maintain a perfect finish over time.
That would be revolutionary. I think the biggest takeaway for me is that mirror polishing is so much more than meets the eye.
Definitely. It's a field with a rich history and a bright future.
And I have a feeling it's only going to become more important as technology advances.
I think so, too.
So to everyone listening, the next time you see a product with a mirror finish, take a moment to appreciate the skill and expertise that went into creating it.
It's a true testament to the power of human ingenuity and precision.
Well said. That's all the time we have for today's deep dive. We hope you enjoyed this exploration into the world of mirror polishing.
And until next time, keep exploring and keep learning.
There's always something new to discover.